Today we continue our study of Psalm 119. Open your Bibles to Psalm 119, and we will give reading to verses 149 through 152. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 149. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord. And all thy commandments are truth. Of old I have known from thy testimonies that thou hast founded them forever. God's word is true. God's word is eternally true. Some things are true only for a period of time. God's word never changes. In fact, in this same Psalm 119, in verse 89, we read, "Thy word is settled in heaven." But before those words are the words, "Forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And that's it. Period. No revisions. No deletions. No additions. You don't need to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 40, we read, "The grass withers and the flower fades, and the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our Lord stands forever." Regarding the eternality of God's word, I want us to consider some factors that have to do with that eternal word. And the first one is this: stability. Stability. Secondly, I want us to consider that this eternality, this stability, this unchangeable truth should be known by us and apprehended by us. That is, take it in as your own property, with your fingerprints all over it. And thirdly, think about, and we will think about this, our experiences of God's word in the past should be the basis of our encouragement to trust God now and in the future. There's a link. First of all, then, everlasting stability. Constant, unchangeable truth. Psalm 11 and verse 7 and 8, we read, "The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever." You see, God's word is of perpetual benefit in every and in all situations. And it will be so until the end of the world. You know, that really gives you something to hold on to. In the midst of change, in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of changes that come as the years accumulate. The Word of God has to do with a lot of issues. But one of the issues that we must consider as we look at the Word of God are God's promises. What about those promises? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God in Him, they are yes. Wherefore also by Him is our amen. What do we have? Two words. Two words. Yes and amen. Appropriate to the Word of God, particularly to the promises. They're not yes and no, on again, off again, sometimes okay. No. Yes and amen. And the fact that God's Word is of perpetual benefit in every and in all situations, even unto the end of the world, is assured because of three things. Three things. Number one, the author, who it is, who is the author. Number two, their foundation. And thirdly, their purpose. Those three ingredients, those three things, those three aspects are very vital to the appropriateness of God's Word and its eternality. First of all, then, the author is God. God is eternal. His word is eternal. Based on his attributes, there's no reason that there should ever be any change in God's word. God's word is characterized by each and every one of his attributes. God is sovereign, absolutely sovereign. But he's also all wise. But he's also omnipotent. Nothing can frustrate the eternal purpose of God. So, there is no reason for what he has declared in his word to be altered or to be revised. That's a lot to think about. In fact, you could spend Sunday afternoon thinking just about that. man's word is always subject to revision for various reasons. Things happen. New information is discovered. Years ago, there was head of a well-known seminary, the person himself being quite well-known, who wrote a book on eschatology. And then he wrote a revision. And then he wrote a second revision. And then he published a third revision. What was happening? Things were not working out. So, gotta come out with a different. Gotta understand this differently now. Sometimes men command, but without reason. Sometimes men promise, but without the performance. Sometimes they threaten without any effect. Therefore, the word of man is conditional and may and often does come to nothing. Seems like that may be what's happening with some of our recent mandates. Men have short memories, especially when it comes to their promises. Or they may be brought into unanticipated situations and circumstances where they're unable to follow through and perform that promise. I want to read a statement to you. I want you to listen to it very, very carefully, because it contains some very interesting truth. People shall find more in the performance of God than they could ever perceive in His promise. And His enemies shall find more weight in His judgments than they could have ever apprehended in His threatenings. That's quite a statement. When it comes right down to comparison of the weakness and frailty of humans with God. So God has promised. But do you see that that promise has potential to provide more and do more than what the mere words of the promise say? Man in his frailty may not even be able to come close to the performance of any promise that he might make. Behind God's promises is omnipotence and omniscience and wisdom. What about His judgments? We should never take God's judgments lightly. They are more weighty than mere words can convey. Let's look at it this way. There are two foundations for God's word. The foundation of God's unchangeable nature. And the second one may not have ever come to your attention. The foundation of the blood of Christ. Let that soak in a minute. Two foundations. The foundation of God's unchangeable nature. And secondly, the foundation of the blood of Christ. That's important. Concerning His unchanging nature, turn with me to Hebrews 6, 17 to 18. Hebrews 6, 17 to 18. And in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. God cannot lie. And there's not going to be any changes. If there were to be a change, it would have to be either for better or for worse. And that can't be. God is supremely perfect. No change for the better. Certainly no change for the worse. God can no more break a promise than cease to be God. His love, his truth, his power, all unchangeable. That should encourage us. But think with me this morning on this issue. Much of what is promised to us has been purchased at a great price. The blood of Christ was shed to make many things that are promised possible. Now, I want to put it this way. Christ's blood was not shed in vain. He will get what he paid for. Every bit of it. Pawn shops are everywhere. And I've already mentioned them recently. You take something in, you need money, and you give it to the pawn shop, and he gives you money. Only problem is, if you want it back, you got to pay more for it. That's the way they stay in business. But let's suppose that a guy does that, and he goes back and pays the price to redeem, got that word? To redeem, and it's used in that sense, what he left in the pawn shop. And so he goes in, the pawn shop's owner says, that'll be so much money. The guy gives him the money and walks back out of the pawn shop without the article. That doesn't happen with Christ. He pays the price and he gets every soul and every promise in effect that's been offered because of the gospel right to the penny. Does that make sense? Does that show you the certainty and the permanency of things in the Bible that have to do with the death of Christ? Then there's the purpose of these things. The purpose of these things are the Word of God, the promises of God, the threatenings of God. Notice I included the threatenings. The Word of God is to be testimonies or declarations of God's mind and will to the creature. not only for the regulation of the creature's actions, but also to the extent of God's dealings with the creature. Got two very important aspects. What are they? God's regulation of our conduct, our actions, our life. His word is going to do that. Thou shalt not. That's regulation. That's limit. And how does God regulate? How does God limit? By his word. That's what we're studying. And that word is permanent. It doesn't change. It's not okay to commit adultery this week. Still a commandment. And will be until the end of the world. God's promises, you see, has to do with God's dealings with us. God's commands are the rule of man's duty. God's promises and threatenings have to do with God's dealings with us. And these are all unchanging. Otherwise, we could never determine for certain how to have dealings with God, nor could we ever really understand how God is going to deal with us. It has to be permanent. And that being true leads us to the next point. The scriptures then are our infallible confidence of a foundation upon which we can build and live. You know, it's important that the foundation be solid and secure. And it's so vital to the well-being of any building. We don't observe it. We don't think about it. We don't admire it. We don't praise it. We don't walk in here and say, oh my, what a beautiful foundation. Not usually. Why? Well, we look at the other things. But what is a building worth without a foundation? And let me ask you a question. What is a life worth without a foundation? We know the parable, do we not? Of the man who built his house upon the sand. And the storms came and the winds blew. And great was the fall of it. No foundation. The other man, of course, dug deep, worked hard till he struck rock and began to build upon the rock. And the winds came and the storms blew and it stood. And that's the importance, dear people, of each of us in our own individual life. You either have a foundation or you don't. And the foundation that we must have is this eternal, unchanging Word of God. In its commands and in its promises. I have mentioned on occasion the time I was at the boys' home. We had rules. But we didn't change them every week, every other week. it wasn't, this is wrong this week, but this week, it's okay. Same, week after week after week. And they knew that. They could depend upon that. That's the way we operate. These are the limits. And we didn't move the fence out and then back. No. Same old, same old. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This week, next month, next year. They could count on it. But even more so, we can look at the Word of God as we sit down to read it or study it or hear it preach. It's the same. What does this mean? I guess we could even say, so what? This truth that we are considering of God's eternal word and its unchanging word should humble us for our uncertainty and inconsistency. Of life. I don't know how well this illustrates it. I use it occasionally as an illustration. When I was a little kid, I would go out to my granddad's farm in West Texas and spend a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They had a fireplace, and on the fireplace mantle was a clock that you had to wind up. And as a little child, one thing that stuck in my mind was the pendulum. Sometimes a fierce storm, black clouds, and my grandma was afraid of tornadoes, and she would grab a lantern and go for the storm cellar. Next morning, the sunshine, the birds singing. Constant. Consistent. And as a little child, I thought, that's the way we need to be in the circumstances of life. And we can do that. Because we can build our life on the commands and on the promises of God's holy, eternal, and infallible word. And it'll be the same tomorrow. And it will be the same when storms are breaking in upon your heart and life. Because someone died, or because whatever. All because this is constant. And this is consistent. And this is what we stand upon today and tomorrow, and as we might one day face death itself. We tend to be fluctuating up and down, inconsistent, blue one day and happy the next. God's word is eternal. God is eternal. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Thou didst establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to thine ordinances. for all things are thy servants. There's another practical use. It's obedience. Just plain old obedience. We read in God's word, obedience is better than sacrifice. We have doubts, we have fears. Our Christian life is sometimes characterized by fits and starts, hot and cold, on again, failing again. Sometimes we hate remaining sin. Sometimes we embrace it. The scripture doesn't condemn it and then allow it and condemn it and allow it. Focus upon God's dealing with you and God's dealing with those issues of disobedience in your life, bringing you to submission and to obedience to His revealed will, which doesn't change. There's another use. It's a source of comfort. We live in a life of constant change. All about us is change and decay. If you don't think so, just take a good look in the mirror. Isn't it wonderful to have something that never changes? God, His Word, heaven and earth may pass away, but not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law. God's promises, I, the Lord, do not change. Wonderful promises throughout the Word of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's eternal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's as good today as it was 50 years ago. Or 100. Or 1,000. Comfort to be had from the Word of God in times of sorrow, times of affliction. It's a help in our praying. I won't take time this morning to necessarily walk us through it. I've done it on occasion, but one of my prime examples of God's Word being a basis of prayer is for you, dear believer. Think with me. Psalm 25. I'm just going to use a few. I've done this, but I want to do it again. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That's how it starts. And that's been true of this psalm forever and ever and ever. And you can take those words and you can say them from your heart. You can say, Lord, To you I lift up my soul. Because it's eternal. It's forever. It doesn't say here, this is good until November the 21st. After that, it's no good. Well, turn with me to hymn number 267. I'm so thankful for good hymns. The title of this hymn is, O Word of God Incarnate. O Word of God Incarnate, wisdom from on high. Truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. We praise thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps, shines on from age to age. Do you see the importance? The Word of God. The church from her dear Master received the gift divine, and still that light she lifteth o'er all the earth to shine. It is the golden casket where gems of truth are stored. It is the heaven-drawn picture of Christ, the living Word. It floateth like a banner before God's host unfurled. It shineth like a beacon above the darkling world. It is the chart and compass that o'er life's surging sea, mid mist of rocks and quicksands, still guides, O Christ, to thee. O make thy church, dear Savior, a lamp of purest gold to bear before the nation. Thy true light as of old. O teach thy wandering pilgrims by this their path to trace, till clouds and darkness ended, they see thee face to face. That hymn is a sermon. Much to ponder, much to think about, much to apply today as we go home. What will we be doing this afternoon? Let's pray. Our gracious God, we ask that you use your word to accomplish your purpose in each of our lives today, while it is still called today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.